Today I have with me Kim Hendry, the Program Manager for the Child Neurology Foundation. Kim graduated from St. Louis University with dual degrees in early childhood education, early childhood special education, and she went on to pursue a master's in administration from Xavier University. She taught children with varying needs as a special educator for 16 years. In 2019, she helped develop the parent council on a phase 3 clinical trial called iAcquire. And then she was drawn to Child Neurology's Foundation's ability to adapt to the world around and provide support for communities, which is why she's there now. She goes into more about her story during the interview. About halfway through the interview, she really goes into why she got involved with clinical trials, and we do a deep dive into what clinical trials are. It was an awesome conversation. I gotta tell you, the Child Neurology Foundation is huge, and for the amount of things that they're doing, I can't believe it took me this long to find them. I do encourage you, if you have a child or you know somebody who has a child with a neurological disability, disorder, diagnosis, whatever you, however you like to frame it, to go to their website or use the link provided in my show notes and fill out an assistance request form. That's going to be the easiest way to get connected with somebody and get the help you need. They do have peer support specialists that are going to help you navigate all this. They are the hubs for all things neurological. I just really, really love this organization. I enjoyed this interview, and I hope you do too. Let's dive in. Welcome, everyone. As some of you may or may not know, 1 in 5 children in the United States are going to live with a neurological condition. And getting that diagnosis can be pretty daunting. You know, I think some of the more common diagnoses are probably a little, in air quotes, easier to come to terms with. But I wanted to bring an expert on to talk to you about what the Child Neurology Foundation does and how they're creating a community of support. You know, I have with me today Kim Hendry, who's got her own story, which I'm hoping she'll share with me. But thank you, Kim, for joining me.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So if you don't mind, can we start a little bit with some, nothing against you, but I'd like to start about Child Neurology Foundation, because I'm betting a lot of people may have never heard of you, yet you guys do such amazing work. So do you mind just sharing a little bit about what you do and how the organization came about?
Absolutely. So the Child Neurology Foundation is sort of a hub for all things neurologic conditions. So we serve as a collaborative center of education, resources, and really just support for children and their families who are living with neurologic conditions. We like to facilitate that connection with medical professionals who care for them as well. We here at the Child Neurology Foundation believe that rising tides lift all boats, meaning that we truly make a bigger impact collectively with different advocacy groups than we do as individuals. So we strongly believe in collaboration with a variety of rare disease organizations so that we can help children affected by neurologic disorders reach their fullest potential. The Child Neurology Foundation was created by Kenneth Swayman. He is one of the nation's first pediatric neurologists who founded the Child Neurology Society. Now, the society is more for pediatric neurologists, while the foundation serves more pediatric patients through advocacy, research, and different support initiatives. Right now, our CEO is Amy Brin. She is a wonderful leader who has been working on behalf of children with special needs and their families for nearly 2 decades. She became our CEO and executive director in 2015, and we have just flourished ever since. So we really have grown in our partnerships, in our programming, in our operations. So we are really here to support families and anything that they could possibly need.
So thank you for all of that. And for the layperson who may not be personally involved with a neurological condition or has a child with a neurological, what are some examples of the more common ones? Now, obviously, there's a ton of rare diseases out there, but what are some of the more common neurological disorders or conditions that that people will typically come and find you for or should be reaching out to you?
So there are a lot of different ones, but a lot of common ones are cerebral palsy. There is autism that a lot of people are very familiar with. We have Phelan-McDermid syndrome as well. We have Lennox-Gastaut as well. There are just a variety of different conditions. And so when we talk about neurologic conditions, it really, we go from the rare to the one that everyone has heard before. And so I think that is what is unique about the Child Neurology Foundation is that we kind of bring together all groups and support all of those groups coming together in advocacy of our children who need that support.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive because that's a drum I've been beating for a long time. It is disability organizations. We need to stop the lobbying and saying this diagnosis needs these supports and really focus on this class of diagnoses can really benefit from all these supports. Because if you lobby a congressman, you say autism or Down syndrome or cerebral palsy, that's what they're going to hear. That's going to get written into the bill, and guess what? That law isn't going to apply to the other 98% of disabilities out there that fall under that same umbrella of, in this case, neurology.
Yeah, so anything that has to do with the brain, any neurologic condition is something that we support. And here at the foundation, we really work to bring all of these advocacy organizations together and lobby together because we are going to make a bigger impact that way. And so we have a lot of partners who join us in our initiatives. We try to join other partners' initiatives as well to be that collaborative hub. That is super important to us. It is something we firmly and strongly believe in and work towards every single day, you know, building those partnerships. Our healthcare system is so fragmented as is. We don't need more fragmentation. We need more collaboration. And so we just try to do that in every step that we take with everyone we come into contact with, whether it be industry, whether it be an advocacy group, families, physicians, it doesn't matter. We try to bring everyone together.
That's awesome. And how did you get involved in this? I mean, what brought you into the foundation?
So I started my career actually as a special education teacher, and I always had that strong desire to help other people who are in need. And I ended up adopting two children. My second daughter ended up diagnosed at 1 year old with two rare brain conditions, schizencephaly and polymicrogyrata. One means a cleft in the brain, and the other one means small folds in the brain where those connections can't be made and therefore hinders her ability, or so we thought. She has flourished because we have participated in many clinical trials and intensive therapies. And along the road, we traveled to a Carolinas for an intensive therapy program where I met someone from the Child Neurology Foundation. We had breakfast one day when my daughter was at her intensive and started talking and collaborating. And before you knew it, she was contacting me saying, "The Child Neurology Foundation has an opening." And I went, you know, I read the post and said, this cannot possibly be true. Like, this is amazing. Like, this is where I want to be, right? I want to help these kids and their families and support them. And so I was fortunate enough to be offered a position at the Child Neurology Foundation, and it has been remarkable to be able to serve families and be collaborative with my colleagues, meet some of the best physicians and partners along the way. So.
It's, I mean, like I said, I'm blown away by everything you guys do. It's just incredible to me. You know, the let's start with your matching. Like you will match families with organizations that they need, right? I mean,
Yes.
can you talk through like a family? Let's do a hypothetical. A family, you know, they have a child. The child does okay the first couple years, and all of a sudden starts to fail to flourish. The doctors don't understand what's going on. You know, you're really struggling, and they're on, you know, maybe they're on a waiting list for a specialist somewhere, and they're floundering. They're like, what do? We know it's something with the brain because the doctor's been able to tell us that much. What do? Does that sound like something that happens?
It sounds like both my personal and professional experience. That has happened to me personally, and I hear it daily. I hear also, you know, I know something's wrong, but my doctor won't give me an MRI. I know something's wrong, but my doctor says everything's okay. What do I do? And so here at the Child Neurology Foundation, we have a family support program, which has many different layers to it, one of which is where we can provide social service support to our families, not just social service support, but also emotional support to our families. So if you have a family that is floundering, you know, they know something's wrong. They know it has to do with the brain. They're waiting to have that appointment with their doctor, which could be 6-9 months out, or they're waiting on that MRI and they are just scared. We have people at the foundation, peer support specialists who lend a listening ear, who can provide advice, who can just really be there to support these families along their journey, because it is a marathon, right? It's not a sprint. It is a marathon, and we need someone there for the long haul. And so that's what we are here at the foundation. We are there for the long haul. One of the wonderful things about going to our website, filling out that assistance request form, is that once families go there, and they start filling out this form, it's very simple. It's not difficult, just basic information. They'll be given a list of social services that they might need help with. So this is anything from food, housing, employment, medical equipment, lawyers, financial assistance, and the list goes on and on with hundreds of different social services. They can choose what they need help with. And some people are very surprised. They go and they look at the list and they go, you know, I just came here to find someone like me. I came here to have someone give me advice. What do I do next? And I didn't know that this organization could help me with financial assistance. I'm drowning right now, right? I had a family who came to me. They lost their job because they had no one to care for their child with epilepsy. They couldn't find respite care. And obviously, that's a deal breaker. Families can't work if they're caring for their child. And so they had a lot of financial instability and they needed help. So there were lots of different organizations that we could pair them with that will help. I had another family who was struggling to put food on the table because they were drowning in medical bills, which is a very common thing for our families. You know, we were able to help them find that food shelf and match them up. Other families just need to be connected with the right advocacy group. Maybe they have that diagnosis already and they want to find families that are that have experienced the same things that they're dealing with. They want to know, what did you do? What did you do along your journey? What should I do? You know, and not that everyone's gonna be able to give that answer directly, but they can say, here's what I've done. Here's what worked for me. And let the family process that. Let them come to their own decision, but at least they can hear how someone else did it. And sometimes that is enough to ease that burden for the family. It's just, it's so important. The other thing, as I said before, is we do have those family support specialists, and I cannot say enough how truly valuable they are, because as they get to know a family, you know, they're talking on the phone with them, they're realizing that, you know what, this family needs a lot more than they even think they need. You know, they can't pay their utility bill, or, you know, they don't have a computer to be able to access telehealth. And we here at CNF do have a digital access program for families who don't have access to technology for telehealth appointments. You know, if you live in a rural area and you can't get to a doctor, you don't have the funds to travel to see a doctor, we can help you by providing a computer with a hotspot, because that's a big point there too, to help you get connected. And what we've heard from families who have received these computers is that not only were they connected to telehealth appointments, but they were connected to their school. They were connected to families that were far away. And that emotional support is so important. It is so important. They could do the research on their child's condition. You know, they could find those best doctors that they didn't know existed because they didn't have a way to research in the past. So those are just a few ways, you know, our family support program has impacted our families and ways that the foundation can support any family who has a child with a neurologic condition.
Yeah, and what I like about that is after my wife died, and still today, frequently what I get is, well, what do you want? That's like taking me blindfolded and saying, you're at a restaurant, what do you want to eat for dinner? But not telling me what type of food they're cooking, what type of restaurant it is, you know, just saying, well, what do you want? I'm like,
right.
Well, maybe I feel like a burger, but I'm at a Chinese restaurant. And well, guess what? You're not going to get a burger. What you're doing instead is saying, look, I understand you may not know what you need, mm-hmm. but at least here's a menu of items. And if something looks like it might help, great. And if you're still overwhelmed, like many of us are, like I know I certainly was when I got it all kind of dumped in my lap, that peer support navigator or peer support specialist will say, hey, You're probably processing a lot right now. So let me give you an example of something. Like you were saying, some things I've done. It looks like you need this, or do you have internet? And are you on Medicaid? Well, why don't you apply for the Affordable Connectivity Program? It'll get you an extra 30, $45 a month in your pocket. Maybe it's not life-changing, but it's something, and you're getting that momentum. And oftentimes what I find is getting somebody to get some positive momentum, as small as it can be, it's a game changer, because now you don't feel so hopeless. Like, oh, I can do this, maybe I can do something else.
Yeah, and our families, they have so many doors closed in their faces. They are constantly reaching out for help, and so many people are saying, no, you don't qualify for this reason or that reason. And so what we do is we kind of stop that. We try to vet the organization before they ever get in contact with the family and say, can you help this family? Do they qualify? Right? So the family doesn't hear another no, because you hear so many no's, and it starts to feel defeating. It starts to get depressing. You don't want to keep asking for help anymore, because it's just, you think it's going to be one more no. And we want to be that yes. We want to be that yes for our families. We want to get them that support that they need. And sometimes it is just, having a conversation with the family and getting to know what their day-to-day looks like. And that's where you can say, hey, I noticed you didn't mention this, or I noticed you said it was really hard, to get out and have a night to yourself because there's no one to care for your child. And then you start to say, oh, okay, what respite care services are there for you in your community? And the family probably has no idea because they've never thought about that before. So it's making those connections in their community that can be really life-changing. You're no longer on an island by yourself. Now you're surrounded with people who get it, people who are there on your team, ready to support you, ready to help you with whatever comes your way. And sometimes it is a struggle, and we realize that. And sometimes you just need to talk it through. And that can give you so much hope and so much more energy, because you're not drowning anymore. You're not drowning alone, right? You have a life raft with a whole bunch of people surrounding you, which is really what, we try to be here at the Child Neurology Foundation.
And it really is just start out with filling out that assistance request form. And I'm going to include a link to that in the show notes.
Yes.
But they do that. Is it like a Google Doc, or does it something they have to email you?
Nope, you literally push a purple button that says submit request, and you fill out your child's name, the person who is filling out the form, and you tell us what you need, what social services do you need. And if it's just emotional support, I shouldn't say just, that's like number one, right? That's what we all need first and foremost. But if that's the only thing that's coming to your mind at the time, let that be. Let that be on the form, and let us get into contact with you. Let us figure out what you need for you just by listening and just providing that support. And maybe it is you just need a conversation. You need a conversation. You might need a few resources that you don't know existed. We can give that to you. The other wonderful thing that you will find on our website, when you go to tools and resources at the top at childneurologyfoundation.org, you will find a ton of links to different topics. So, for instance, we have topics on care coordination. This teaches families what care coordination is, how to access a care coordinator, where to find resources. And there's just a lot of videos there where families can learn about that topic. There's also a Shortening the Diagnostic Odyssey series where we talk about how to find the cause of your child's epilepsy, doing genetic testing to find the cause of your child's epilepsy, and so much more. So there are a series of videos there as well. We go into, there's also a child neurologist new visit toolkit
Oh,
that we have
wow.
that you can print out to prepare for your visit with your neurologist. So that's another way that we can support families, because it is nerve-wracking going to a neurology
Yes.
appointment when you have so many things in your head and you just don't even know where to start. And so this could help you as you go into the neurologist's office, kind of prioritize what your needs are, what you want to talk about in that visit. We have resources on what we call SUDEP, sudden unexpected death and epilepsy, and downloadable seizure action plans. We have information about clinical trials. If you ever had any, desire to do a clinical trial and participate in those, we have tons of information there
Let's talk
as
about a little
well.
bit about that, right? Because I think a lot of
Sure.
people hear clinical trials and maybe they only know what they've seen on TV or something in some
Yes.
dramatic movie, right?
Yes.
What is a clinical trial? I mean, you've said you've been through a few, right? Or one at least.
Yes. So a lot of people think clinical trials and they immediately think medication, right? They immediately think, okay, my kid's going to try some exploratory medication. And that's not always the case. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. My daughter did two intensive clinical trials for constraint-induced movement therapy, and one where they casted for her non-affected hand to force her to use her affected hand. And it was life-changing. She went from not knowing that her right side existed to using it,
Wow.
which was, I mean, I'll never forget the day
God.
where she literally looked up and went like this in amazement of her hand. Like, that's a part of me? I had no idea.
Yeah, so
So,
for those of you that are listening on a podcast, Kim held up her right hand in front of her face and looked at it with like a gaze of wonderment and like, wow.
And that's exactly what she did. It was like, you know, seeing something like an alien for the first time. I'd never seen this before, you know, and she had that connection to it. And as a parent, that's something I dreamed of for her. The moment I found out this, you know, she had the condition that she had, when the doctor said she wasn't going to walk or talk and that, you know, we should prepare for her to be in a wheelchair in 6 months. And I feel like the clinical trials that we participated in gave her that ability, right? That to walk, to talk, because we saw carryover effects in other areas as well. Her speech, her fine motor, gross motor, all were impacted by the clinical trials that we participated in. And so, you know, a clinical trial is to see researchers are suspecting that maybe a certain treatment is going to work for a child, and they want to validate it. They want to see, is this going to be beneficial for the child? I don't know if many people have experienced this. Probably a lot of people have. You have a child with a neurologic condition, but insurance relies on research to figure out whether they're going to cover a certain therapy. And so it is critical that we have people participating in clinical trials so that these insurance companies recognize these forms of treatment that are benefiting our children, or the ones that, you know, prove to be beneficial. They can get covered by insurance. It can be affordable for people. And if no one does a clinical trial, we can't prove that it does or does not work. And so it's really important to research clinical trials, see if it's right for you, talk to your doctor, most importantly, and see if they think that this would be a fit for your child, or if it's something worth entertaining or talking to, you know, the researchers about, you know, joining these clinical trials. Sometimes people have to travel for clinical trials. We were fortunate in that there was a Ronald McDonald House right there in the location that they were doing the clinical trial. So we stayed for a month in the Ronald McDonald House, and then we traveled back home on the weekends, and it was amazing. I mean, absolutely amazing. My daughter still had, you know, a relatively typical environment where she could, you know, eat with other people, and she could play in their playroom and do all of those things during the clinical trial. She didn't know any different, and she was super happy to have a new, you know, environment to play in, all the while getting treatment from one of the best therapists I've ever met in my life. I literally credit her to my child's progress, literally life-changing for her. So, I mean, it is worth researching and seeing what clinical trials will be beneficial for your child. And maybe you decide to do it because it's a right fit for your child. Maybe you decide not to because it's not. But it's always worth looking into it. I'm constantly looking for clinical trials to see if they're a fit for my daughter and whether, you know, it fits for our family. Is it worth it to travel? Is it worth it to spend that money? Is it nearby? Awesome. What a lucky fit, right? But the therapy itself was free. We did have to travel. That was not.
So besides paying for travel and lodging, well, Ronald McDonald House, you probably didn't have to pay for lodging, but if you have to pay for lodging, does a clinical trial cost you anything? Are you paying to participate?
You do not pay to participate. There are other costs associated with it if you have to take off of work or whatnot. But the trial itself, Abby participated in a minimum of 3 hours per day, 5 days a week for 4 weeks in therapy. And that was completely covered. It was completely free. And in my opinion, the best therapist I have ever encountered in my life. Honestly, we've had a million therapists, and she by far was phenomenal. I mean, really taught me as a parent how to work with my child, developed a care plan for after the trial was over on how to work with my child. It helped me see the world in a different way as far as what toys to offer my child to get her to use both sides of her body. You know, Target became a totally different world in the toy section. You know, I'm thinking, what is gonna really entice her to use both sides of her body? What can I buy? And so I started to see toys differently. My mother-in-law would walk down the aisles with me and she would go, "That's a two-handed toy. That's a two-handed toy." And so we just walked down the aisles doing that. That's a two-handed toy, you know, all the time. Even like snacks, like, you know, she has to pull the Oreo apart. So that's a win. Let's do it, you know? So you just see the world in a different way. It's education for the parents. And mind you, I was a special education teacher. I have never gotten better training than I did from her therapist during that clinical trial. Never, never. I mean, in all my training and all my experience as a teacher, it was just absolutely remarkable. So,
Awesome. I do want to put a little caveat in here that results will vary. Kim was fortunate enough to have very positive results. Unfortunately, they're called trials because they're not always successes.
yes. And you know what's funny is I saw so much progress in my daughter, and I probably saw more after the trial, right? But at the post-assessment, she bombed it. I
Okay.
mean, she bombed it. And I even remember writing a letter to the researcher going, "But I promise you, she can do all this." But she doesn't matter. But I was just like, this really worked for my child. But you know, it some will work and some won't. And they need to know why. Why does it work for this child? Why does it not work for this child? I think as parents, we're always trying to find, you know, the best route for our children. And I feel like if it's a fail for your child, at least you didn't do it with, you know, malice in your heart, trying to give them therapy or whatnot. You try different things in an effort to move your child forward. And I think if you're doing that, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing as a parent.
Yeah, and I really hope our listeners, if you're not a person of color or help share this with people of color, because we really need, and just across the board, we need more women and we need more people of color represented in all of the trials everywhere. For
Yes,
far too
absolutely.
long, trials have been white men or white boys, and that is not representative of the population.
Yeah, it's we definitely need that representation. I serve on a clinical trial right now, and that is definitely something that we're trying to get a diverse population of people. That's what we need. We want to know what works across the board for all people from all socioeconomic classes. We want to know everything. And the only way to do that is to have a diverse representation. And so the more we can get it out there, the better. The more we share on social media and people see it, the better. So I encourage anyone, if you ever see a clinical trial posted or anything like that, please share it with everyone. You never know who knows who in the chain of social media. So please share it, get that out there. What might not be a good fit for your family might be a good fit for someone else's. And you just never know. You never know what people are going through and who could benefit.
And where can people find these clinical trials?
Clinicaltrials.gov, I
Oh,
believe.
so there's an actual website for it? I'll
There is
find
an
that and make
actual
sure it's in the,
website.
okay, I'll
You
make sure
know,
that's
they're
in the show
trying it
notes.
right now to make it a friendlier website. The government is because it has not been historically very friendly. We are going to start putting on our CNF site some access to the clinical trials that relate to certain disorders that we have on our disorder directory. Again, on our website, it's one of the top bars that you see there. There's lots of information about different disorders, and we're hoping to link some clinical trials that are going on there as well so that families can find their specific neurologic condition and then see, you know, what's going on in that space right now.
You know what just occurred to me, Kim, is that your website and all these resources could be a tool not just for the family, but for the family's primary care manager. You think if you live somewhere, like I live in Maryland, I'm not, I had my cancer treatment at Hopkins, right? So I consider myself very fortunate in terms of my access to healthcare. But then, I'm not picking on any particular state on purpose, but when I think of someplace like Idaho, right? I don't think of a big medical hub in the entire state. I'm sure there's great hospitals there. But when you're talking rare diseases where you might only have one in 100,000 or a million, well, your primary care physicians may not have that much familiarity. They may, they just may not know, right? My wife died of really rare autoimmune disease. And we were fortunate enough that, I was at Walter Reed, the military medical center, and they were talking to people in England and Japan, because that's where the most recent cases had been. Well, going to your website to make a point here, going to your website, I imagine the doctors can get the same benefit from all the tools you have, right? And then they can find other professionals they can reach out to and say, hey, I've never seen this before. Or, and then, because no professional wants to look dumb in front of their patient or their client. I mean,
Yes.
it just, it's not a good look. I mean,
Well, and doctors these days don't have time.
right.
They have so many things going on. They don't have time. Another thing that I will send you is our family support flyer. Doctors can post this in their clinics. They can hand it out to families, and it has a QR code on there that directly links you to our assistance request page. So, if doctors don't have time, at least they have a handout that they can give to a family and say, this organization can help you. And a lot of people love QR codes. It's easy. Everyone has a cell phone. They just take that picture and, off you go. And so it's really important that, if doctors really are feeling strained, they have a large caseload, very little time, use us. We want to be that hub for you. Explore our website, find, our new patient toolkits, find all of the different resources that we have. We have a lot. We have videos for families that they can, refer families to. So the point is just use us. Use
Do you
us
offer
for all things neurologic conditions.
do you guys offer trainings for like CME and other continuing education? Do you offer that for nurses and nurse practitioners and physicians?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. We actually just held a training on care coordination for neurologists, social workers. We had a wide array of attendance there. Care coordination is essentially providing those social services to our families based on the social determinants of health. And so we provided CME for that course. We're expanding our CME content at this point. So we want physicians to come to us. We got rave reviews on the course that we did offer. And our goal is to expand care coordination across the nation, to have more physicians engaging in it. And if they can't, because they're stretched, send them to us and let us assist in that. We have hired a social worker, and she can help navigate all those resources for our families. As I said before, we have a peer support specialist as well, so they can help with that as well. And we're just expanding that program. We also offer training for advocacy groups, which are primarily hosted by parents of kids with neurologic conditions. And so they, once we provide that training for them, they then go out and use that to support other families who have children with neurologic conditions. So we are that hub for advocacy organizations, physicians. We have a ton of partners across the nation, and we ask that people collaborate, that they utilize our resources. We do this for the community. We do this for our families.
But to do this for the communities and to do it for the families, it takes a lot of money because staff, people, and knowledgeable people especially want to get paid, rightfully so. I don't think any of us want to go to work for free, because we all have bills to pay. But you're a nonprofit, right? So how do you get your support? Where does your support come from?
Our amazing funders. We have an array. We have an array of funders, and they have supported us year in and year out. And honestly, I think the more we grow, the more funders we get, the more people who recognize our contributions to the community and how much we want to improve the quality of life for all of these children and their families with neurologic conditions. And so we appreciate our funders. I mean, it ranges. We have a range of different kinds of funders as well. Anyone who wants to donate to the Neurology Foundation, we love to have your support. So there are different ways you can do that on our website, childneurologyfoundation.org. There is a donation section where you can donate. You can do a Facebook fundraiser. Those are like all the rave right now. So you can, host one of those for your birthday or whatever event you would like and donate to the Child Neurology Foundation. We always appreciate that. Any support that you can give. The other way that you can just volunteer is by sharing your story. We have a NeuroHero campaign going on where we want you to share your story because other families are going through it too. And we want them to know you're not alone. So again, you'll see NeuroHero at the top of our website, but you don't even have to go to our website. You could share your story on your Facebook or social media page, Hashtag NeuroHero and tag the Child Neurology Foundation, we will get that. So we really believe in connecting our families, and social media is kind of in the way to do that, right? It's been the way that people can connect and find commonalities and feel not as alone. And that's really kind of what we're here to do, is to bridge that gap and find that community for everyone.
Yeah. And then what channels are you on? Are you on, you said Facebook, are you also on Instagram or?
Yep.
So basically all of, and if there's social media out there, you're probably on it.
We are. And we post constantly. You may have actually come into contact with our family support program, because we do post about that quite a bit on Facebook and Twitter as well. Obviously they're all kind of connected, but one of the things that we ask is that when you see that, share it. You don't know who's on the end and who's connected and who's going to share that, what friends, they have that may benefit from it. So if you see one of our posts out there, please just pass it along. Even if it doesn't pertain to you, it is very interesting. We'll share about different rare conditions, and you'd be surprised how many people you actually know with a rare condition. They're out there. They're out there. People have them, and people need support. They need people. They need their community. So the best thing you can do is share so that they can get to their community.
I agree. And what's the best way, if somebody has questions or wants to learn more, should they email you? Is there a contact form on the website you want them to use? What's the best way for me to direct people to get in contact?
So two different ways. One, we have a program's inbox that I can get emails from you. We have a contact email on the bottom of our website. And then also you can email me directly, khindri@childneurologyfoundation.org. I'm more than happy to help you get to wherever you need to go. If you need support in any way, shape, or form, the assistance request form is the best way to do it. That comes directly to me as well. You don't even have to memorize my email. I will get it anyways. So it links right to me. So any way, any email you see on our website, click it. It will get to me.
Yeah, I think what I took away from this, the biggest thing I took away from this, and I got like 2-3 pages of notes. I think what I would like families to do, click on the assistance request form. Even if you don't have a clue where you want to start, and just put emotional support. If you're like, I don't even know what I don't know, then click emotional support, let a peer support specialist help you out, figure it out. But the biggest thing is just getting out there, putting that request in, and taking that first positive action towards digging yourself out of this hole.
Absolutely. And it can feel like a hole. If you feel like you're drowning, reach out. Or you can, inform our peer support specialist as, on as much of your life or as little of your life as you want them to know. You don't have to, tell everything. Some people are very personal. That's okay. Just reach out with whatever it is you feel comfortable sharing, and we can help. Our goal is to build this community and to help support our families in any way that we can.
Now, this has been fantastic, Kim. Is there anything I should have asked you that I didn't ask? Is there anything you want to make sure we cover? Any oh by the ways?
I don't think so. I think we did a pretty nice job of covering everything. Again, if you want to be a neuro hero and you want to share, and it doesn't even have to be your child. If it's a niece or a nephew or a grandchild that you would like to share about, please just do it on any social media account that you have, hashtag neuro hero and tag the Child Neurology Foundation. And we get that information out to our community. And it is just amazing what an uplift that is, to other families, to see other people going through it and persevering, right? I mean, that's what we want to see, especially if we're going through a hard time. There is light at the end of that tunnel, and together, we can get through it. We can get through our tough times.
Well, thank you, Kim. Thank you for joining me, and thank you for putting all this information out. Listeners, I've said this before, you don't know what somebody needs, because very often those of us who need the most aren't saying anything. We're suffering in silence. So please share the information about Child Neurology Foundation. If you found this podcast interesting, and I hope you did, share the podcast. But Kim, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
When Kim and I got done recording, we had a little bit of another conversation about how challenging it can be, even for her and her getting help for her daughter, working at the Child Neurology Foundation because all of the insurance companies seem to focus on autism as the only diagnosis that they want to provide unlimited OT, speech, PT, things like that for. And that really strikes at the heart of the issue that I have is, yes, I want people who are on the spectrum to get help. My son is on the spectrum. But I think it's really, really short-sighted to not think about or not address how those same services that are going to help support and support individuals with autism could also help and support so many other developmental disabilities like cerebral palsy and Down syndrome and some of the more rare disorders. I feel we really have to do a better job communicating this to the politicians, and that's why I'm glad Child Neurology Foundation is around, because they work very collaboratively. They're not out there trying to beat a drum for any one diagnosis. That's my rant. I do appreciate you listening to this. I'd love to hear any feedback you have. You know, check the show notes for all of the contact information and resources. Thanks for listening.